We will walk you into our spaces and times the way our mothers and our mothers' mothers walked us into theirs. Picture a narrative like a thread coming in and out of the holes of a button designed precisely for it. You, we, people, are these buttons who need stories to gradually attach ourselves to a fabric, a place, an environment. We fabricate our attachment to a place by weaving ourselves to it, word after word. This is an invitation to look up. The building you are facing has a number of stories that I, a voice by the Mediterranean Sea, cannot see, but stories you and I can listen to. Stories of a trade of many names, the garment industry, the needle trade, the rag trade, and in Yiddish, the schmatter trade. 1955, here in this quartier de spectacle. 1968, quartier latin. 2004, San Felipe, Venezuela. Alpaim Esrim Veshtaim, Yerushalayim Tel Aviv.
I remember seeing her with a coat on her lap, a heavy coat, like a winter coat, and she would take the thread, and she had this piece of wax, like a little, like a half ball, and she would pull the thread through the wax, and I was thinking it was to make it stronger, but then, no, it's probably to make the needle go through the material smoother, because it must have been heavy.
La mère de Papier Roger avait une mercerie dans les années 68. Je sais qu'elle était dans les manifs et elle lançait aussi les pavés et elle tenait sa mercerie, une petite mercerie, d'après papa, Robert. Elle vendait des boutons, des fils, des aiguilles, comme dans toute mercerie. Et je crois qu'il y a un stock énorme dans le hangar.
Rangé par couleur.
Voilà.
She told me how the button tattooed on her wrist symbolizes things opening and closing to her, and how she had always marveled at the idea that such a simple trick could symbolize so much. Her abuela, too, was a seamstress. Back when she was still in Venezuela, when she was getting the tattoo, the artist got cold meat process. His dad had passed away. Tears running down his cheeks, he finished the process with his needle.
Donc, chez les Juifs polonais, il y a cette habitude de ne pas coudre sur une personne vivante. Ça veut dire, si maintenant j'ai un bouton de ma chemise qui est tombé et qu'il faut recoudre, j'enlève la chemise et je recoue le bouton. Et on ne le fait pas sur soi. Et des fois, c'est fatigant parce que c'est tellement simple. J'ai un enfant qui vient et qui me dit « Maman, mon bouton, il est tombé. Ben, » j'ai envie de le coudre directement. Et là, attends, il faut tout déboutonner, tout enlever, tout ça. Donc, qu'est-ce qu'on fait dans un cas pareil? Si on a quand même envie de coudre sur une personne, on prend un fil et on le met entre les dents, comme ça. C'est-à-dire la personne sur laquelle on coud, elle fait ça. Et donc, elle est vivante, puisque bon, les morts, ils n'ouvrent pas la bouche, je pense. C'est ça l'idée. Je sais pas. C'est un peu abusant, mais c'est ça, la couture.
My grandmother had all these superstition things that she used to do, and we kept on doing them in my house. One of them was putting a thread in your mouth when you sew, but another one was wearing a red thread around your wrist for against the evil eye. So now my father had a real big problem because he's like a mega rationalist, and like in a religious principle, he thought it's like idolatrous to believe that a red thread is actually going to protect you. But it's his mom, and you gotta like respect your mother. So for days we were like thinking and thinking what to do, and in the end he decided, okay, take the red thread but put it on your ankle so no one could see it, wear socks on top of the red thread so no one could see it, and when you put the red thread, say, I'm only doing this to respect my grandmother, I don't actually believe that this is gonna protect me. So that's what I did. It was like a massive event, and I went on the stage in front of all these people, and nobody knew that under my little sock there was a red thread protecting me. No, not protecting me, respecting my grandma.